Good evening. Have you ever heard a song lyric or something to that effect that just really sort of challenged your thinking just sort of had you just sort of pause and think, I've never thought of it that way? Maybe it was a quote. Maybe it was something you read. This week, I heard a song I'd never heard before. I never really knew the artist, and I found out that she'd been around for a long time. Her name is Natalie Grant. She's from the West Coast. She's a Christian music artist, and she's been singing for a number of years. But she has a song, and it really sort of challenged me to think about some things in my own life. And so I was inspired from the lyrics of that song to sort of look at things from maybe a fresh perspective, but also in doing that to put it through the lens of Scripture. And I think that's really, really important. So I spent some time reflecting on, you know, is there anything in Scripture that sort of captures the meaning and essence of this song? And so I want to look at a couple of things to set this up, and then we'll look at it this evening. And we'll make application with this lesson. This is Mark's account of what happened on the night before Jesus was crucified. And so, and some people say that Mark represents Peter's gospel. Peter didn't pen a gospel, but some people have an argument that Mark represents Peter's gospel. So let's just look at this together, Mark chapter 14, 27 through 31. Then Jesus said to them, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee. Peter said to him, even if all are made to stumble, yet I will not be. Jesus said to him, assuredly, I say to you that today, even this night before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. But he spoke more vehemently, if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. So this was Peter's passion. This was his dedication. This is what he thought his commitment would be. I mean, and he's not saying, if you're having a bad day, I'll be with you. But he's saying, I'm willing to die with you. We're going to read Luke's account a little bit later. Luke even adds a little bit more detail in this account. Before we get too much of the language, I first need for you to understand a few Greek terms. Because the text we're going to go to next is really illuminated by understanding these words. So agape is, in John chapter 3:16, for God so loved, it's for God so agape the world. It's the self-sacrificing love. It's someone who's willing to put your needs above theirs. And so for God so loved, so agape is self-sacrificing love. It's a noun. Agapas is the practice of using agape love. It's loving with self-sacrificing love. So agape and agapas, you sort of see the similarities there. Now, philo is brotherly love. Now, we get the word Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, from philo. Now, phileus is loving with brotherly love. Okay? So one's a noun, the other's a verb. You know, so agape is sort of this self-sacrificing love. Agapas is this using self, you know, the act of or the doing of self-sacrificing love. And philia is brotherly love, and phileus is the act of doing brotherly love. That makes sense? Noun, verb. Okay, so that makes sense. So, another thing that I want to put in before we get into the text in John chapter 21 is an understanding of a phrase. And Jesus uses a phrase in this, more than these. Now, biblical scholars still do not know exactly what Jesus meant. We're missing context and time to know exactly more than he meant. But there may be something he means in here that's really important and how things transpire. Yeah. Now, some people suggest that Jesus is saying more than these, referring to the fish they just caught. Or more than these, referring to the nets and the boats. You know, do you love me more than fishing, so to speak? Now, in context, it could mean that. Let's be really clear. It could mean that. But I think it probably means, do you love me more than these other people do? More than they do. Do you love me more than they do? Or it could mean, do you love me more than them? But I think what transpires here is Jesus is asking them, do you love me more than these other guys do? So it's a difficult question. So this is sort of the premise. Do I love Jesus more than others do, or even harder? Question to ask. Do I love Jesus more than anything? And so, in John chapter 21, I'm sorry for the size of the text. I thought it would be bigger, but you can turn to John chapter 21, 15 through 17. You're familiar. This is after Jesus' resurrection. This is on the Sea of Galilee. Jesus has built a fire. He's cooked fish. He has bread for them. Jesus made breakfast for them that morning. And so they come to the Sea of Galilee. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love that agapos me more than these? Are you practicing, are you doing that self-sacrificing love more than these other guys? Me. He said, yes, Lord, you know that I love. He changes the word, philo. I love you. I love you with brotherly love. Now, this is an awkward situation. Jesus has got Peter and the other disciples there, you know, and saying, do you love me more than these guys do? And Peter's a little awkward, and he says, yes, I love you like a brother, in other words. I love you like family. That's not what Jesus asked. Jesus asked, do you love me with self-sacrificing love? And Peter says, oh, yes, Lord, I love you like family. Now, it's an awkward moment. It's like going up to a parent or a grandparent and say, which one's your favorite, talking to about their children or grandchildren. It's awkward. And that's sort of what's happening. Which one's your favorite? Then Jesus said to him, feed my lambs. Now, Jesus is very smart in how he does this. He chooses lambs, because lambs are really important. Lambs don't have a lot of natural smarts and ability to protect themselves. And he says, take care of the little ones. Take care of those who don't know they belong to my flock yet. We've got four goats at home. We've got Boots and Randolph. It's not named after John and Pat. They just seem Boots and Randolph went well together. And Bobby and Socks, you know. And so Boots and Bobby and Socks, they had babies this year. But the four original goats we have, they're all bottle fed. And they are pests. When you go out to the barn, they're all over you. You leave the truck door open, they're inside the truck. I mean, they're just everywhere you don't want to be. But their offspring are not that way. They're wild. I mean, they don't want to be touched. I mean, you have to corner them to catch them. Okay? So here it is, Jesus says, go after the little ones. Secure them to my flock. Those people who yet don't know me, feed them. Go after them. And then he said to them a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love? He says that word again, agapos. Do you love me with self-sacrificing love? Then Peter says, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Philo, I love you like a brother. I love you like family. Then he said to them, tend my sheep. The people who already acknowledge Jesus, the people who know Jesus, the people who knows him and the shepherd, he says, take care of the flock. Take care of the flock. Remember, he said, when he struck the shepherd, the flock scatters, right? He says, Peter, go after them. Tend my sheep. And then so that goes on into verse 17. Then he said a third time, Simon, Simon, son of Jonah, do you phileos me? What happened? Jesus changed the word. Jesus more or less is saying, oh, God, Peter, if you won't admit to one, I'm going to ask you the other. Do you love me like family? Do you love me like a brother? But Peter's response, he was grieved because he said to him a third time, "Phileas me." So it's almost as Jesus is watering down the word. It's almost like Jesus is going backwards on the kind of love that Peter finally gets to the point that he says, "Okay, Peter, I'll use your language. Do you love me like family? Do you love me like a brother?" And Peter's grieved because Jesus has now sort of brought it down. It's not the same thing. Agape is not the same thing as philia. And now Peter's grieved. Now, we know the parallel, right? Jesus has said, "You're going to deny me three times." We know that, and some people argue that that's what got to Peter. Finally, Peter says, 1, 2, 3, I understand now. I had to restore myself for every denial I made. You see, Jesus, this is not necessarily an act of judgment. I think sometimes we say that, you know, Jesus is giving Peter a hard time. He's giving him what for? But Jesus is allowing Peter to go back and recount every one of his denials, to go back and say, "Yes, I love you." Then Jesus said to him this time, "Feed my sheep." Not just tend them, but provide them spiritual food. So what happens a few days after this day of Pentecost? Peter begins feeding the flock. He speaks for God. So the reason for Peter's sorrow is sort of a self-knowledge that he came to Christ. It appears that Jesus is lowering his expectations of Peter. "Do you really love me more than they do?" Peter just won't hardly admit that. You know, says, "Yeah, I love you like a brother." "Peter, do you really love me more than they do?" "Well, yeah, I love you like a brother." And finally, Peter, "But do you love me like a brother then?" Peter's grieved by this. You remember we just read in Mark chapter 14 that he said, "I was willing to die for you. I was willing to whatever it takes to do it." And so he came to the realization that, oh, he loved Christ, he's a friend. He was not yet able to love him that deep, sacrificing, self-sacrificing sin. Peter was telling the truth. "I just can't go where you're at right now. I don't know if I can do what you're asking me to do." And Peter says, but I love you. I love you. But Peter's telling the truth now. "I don't know if I can do what you're asking me to do, but I love you." Jesus isn't goading Peter about his failure. He was showing him that we need not always, what we need is not always within us. But with divine help, we can get it. Jesus commissioned him to feed the young, tend the mature, and increase the fold of God. Our thing here, loving God and loving others, is important. I love it as our motto, as our goal, as our mission. But loving others is not enough. There's a lot of good moral people here who love people. I mean, there's people in the world who just love people. They're just doing good things for people. They're very charitable. They're very, very benevolent. I mean, they're good moral people. I had a brother, and he was very involved in Civitans, and he was always wanting me to go to Civitan meetings. And I said, "It's just not for me, you know." I said, it's for you and stuff. And then he would invite me 2 or 3 times. I went one time, and they had a minister's appreciation and stuff. And he said, "But they do so much good." I says, "I don't doubt they do good. I know they do good. But if I'm going to do good, I need to do good for the church and not an organization like that." That's me, you know. But there's a lot of things in this world, people who do good, but doing good is not enough. Loving others is not enough. You've got to love God more. So this is Luke's account of what happened on the night of Jesus' betrayal. And the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I prayed for you that your faith should not fail. When you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren." But he said to him, "Lord, I'm ready to go with you both to prison and to death." Then he said, "I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny three times. You will deny three times that you know me. So what we see in Luke is what Jesus did in Matthew, right? He said that I'm going to pray for you that you don't lose your faith. And when you've returned to me, strengthen your brethren. Take care of the young ones. Mind the mature ones. And bring others to the fold. And so this is what this is Luke chapter 22 matches John chapter 21. But notice, Jesus said that Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. Sifting and thrashing is somewhat a violent process if you're looking at it. Back then, they didn't have the machinery we have today. It was throwing the grain around and throwing it up in the air and doing whatever they could to sift the grain from the wheat and the chaff. You know, I don't know if Satan's request about Peter was that much than Satan's request about Job. Remember? Let me at him. Let me at him. But Jesus says, I have petitioned on your behalf that not happen. I want you're gonna leave me, but when your faith is returned, return to me. And so here we understand that this is divine intervention. This is Jesus praying for Peter that Satan not have a chance at him. This is not one in Peter. This is Jesus praying for Peter. I referenced not long ago, so we very often have heard about Jesus' prayers, but we've really never focused too much on the prayer life of Jesus. And this is another example of something from the prayer life of Jesus. He's praying that someone be protected and someone get what they can't get on their own. And so this is divine intervention. And so we have sometimes we need to pray to Jesus to help us want him more than anything. Jesus said, there's not a thing in this world you're going to give up that you won't be rewarded 10 times over. Property, family, whatever it is. Jesus says, you need to want me more than anything. But the challenge, if we're really honest with ourselves, it's hard for us to have that kind of passion and love, isn't it? How many things are we willing to put in front of him? Or where is he in the list of priorities in our life? Sometimes Jesus really wants us to want him more than anything. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. We speak sometimes in very big statements, hyperbole. I'm so hungry I could eat a horse. Anyone ever said that? I hate to see it. What if we had spiritual hunger that way? What if we hungered for Jesus so much? Spiritually speaking, we would take on a horse. That's the kind of love that we ought to have for him. But the problem that happens is, it's not that we don't love Jesus. The problem we have is that sometimes we love the things that Jesus brings to us more than we love him. And that's where I got hung up in the song. I mean, before we get to that, Job is saying this. Job is saying this about his affection for God. Even though he slay me, yet I will trust him. You wonder why Job had a big target on his back? You wonder why Satan picked him? I mean, if Satan could have taken down this man, ain't none of us got any hope. But he says, even though he slay me, yet I will trust in him. And Job wasn't having a bad day. He was having the worst of days. So to the song, more than anything. And so I'm sure some of you are going to go home and Google it and listen to it. It's a challenging song. And so the person's name is Natalie Grant. The song is called More Than Anything. There's two or three different versions of it. But the lyrics say this. I know if you wanted to, you could have waved your hand. Spare me this heartache and change your plan. And I know any second that can take my pain away. But even if you don't, I pray. Help me want the healer more than the healing. Help me want the Savior more than the saving. Help me want the giver more than the giving. Help me want you, Jesus, more than anything. You know more than anyone that my flesh is weak, and you know that I would give anything for a remedy. And I'll ask 1,000 more times to set me free today. Oh, but even if you don't, I pray, help me want you, Jesus, more than anything. When I'm desperate and my heart's overcome, all that I need, you've already done. Oh, Jesus, help me want you more than anything. I was convicted. I like all the good stuff that Jesus does. But sometimes in my life, I think I love that more than I do Him. I don't know that I'm a Job that could say, in my distress, even though you slay me, I'll put my trust in you. And I think that, spiritually speaking, we just don't seriously consider that we don't have it within ourselves what we need all the time. I know it's the American way, pull yourself up by the bootstraps and, you know, struggle, you know, work harder, 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 and you eventually get there. I think Natalie Grant's right. This needs to be our prayer. I mean, Jesus prayed for Peter. Jesus, in asking him, says, you know, Peter, I know it's hard to love me the way you need to love me. But you'll get there. So the question I ask tonight, it's not one for everyone to rush to a response to, but it's one for reflection. Do I love Jesus for who He is rather than what He has done and what He does? What do I love Him more for? This is hard to imagine, but this is agapos. This is what Jesus was asking Peter. Do you love me with self-sacrificing love? Peter said, yeah, I'm one of your biggest fans. You know, I've got the bumper sticker on my camel. I've got the t-shirts. I've got the bracelets. I love you more than anything. And Jesus says, no, are you willing to self-sacrifice for me? And this is not because Jesus wants us to have less. It's because Jesus wants us to have more. Jesus said in John, I came that they may have life. They may have it what, church? Abundantly. We have the capacity for it. But James says sometimes we don't have what we want because we don't know how to ask. So James, our brother Jesus, says ask for more of Him. Ask to have the capacity to love Him more than anything. And you have all that you need. This is agapos. Paul says. He doesn't use flowery language. He just hits the point. But God demonstrates his own love toward us. And while that we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Before we did anything worth redeeming, Christ died for us. Now, God has made us, and he knows our design. He knows every struggle that each one of us goes through. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our soft spots and our vulnerable points. And he's not judging us harshly because we don't love him more than anything. Jesus was gentle with Peter. I really do think there was a lot of love going on there. It wasn't harsh condemnation and judgment. He's recommissioning him, folks. But it's not always what we can do. The Comforter lives within us. The Spirit is there to guide us. The Spirit produces fruit that reflects back to who God is and who Jesus is. But maybe we do need to each reflect in our life and give space and time for the prayer. Jesus, I want you more than anything. I'm going to say a word of prayer, then Brother Calvin announced the song, and we're going to sing it as an opportunity to respond if you'd like to respond to that. Father, you work in mysterious ways. Father, and you speak to us through your word. But Lord, sometimes you speak to us in many different ways. So Lord, we know that we cannot contain you in written word, dear Lord, because you are active, live, and dynamic in this world. And you can be use people, places, situations, and things sometimes to speak truth to us, to me, Father, because we know your truth has gone out into all the earth. And your word will not come back void. Lord, we pray that you give us an awareness that we need to pray that we want you and your Son more than anything. More than the things you've done for us already, that we want you regardless of those things. And Father, we know that you love Job. And we understand that your relationship with him was not like relationships with many of us. That he had a faith and trust in you, that he loved you more than anything. And he even said, dear Lord, if you even slayed him, he would still put his trust in you. Lord, we know that that's a huge step for most of us. But Lord, we pray that you give us some sense and awareness, dear Lord, of wanting you more than anything. Heavenly Father, we pray tonight, Heavenly Father, that we may not forget this message, that we constantly reflect back on it and touch on it. We, Father, to your glory and to your Son's glory. And we, Father, and we're thankful for how the Spirit intercedes in our prayer life. And it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.